1 Corinthians chapter number 12, if you have your place there. And Pastor has been preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. I believe we're in chapter number 4. By the time he gets to chapter number 12, you will have forgotten everything I said tonight, and it'll sound like something brand new. So let's don't worry about that. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I want to begin reading in verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for this body, this local New Testament church that you have raised up here in this community to reach this community and reach the outer areas to help reach the world. We thank you for the shepherd you've placed here. We thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl that you have placed in this body as it pleased you. And I pray tonight that you would take the thoughts that I will share tonight to help us as a body to be used in a very special way to honor our great God. We preach about you, how great you are. We sing about you. We pray to you. Certainly, we want to honor you with our lives. I pray you'll be with Pastor Mike tonight, that you'll meet his physical needs. I pray for Pastor Kenny and his family, that you bless them as they travel and whatever they're doing this week and the preaching, use them in a special way. Now, bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word tonight. I pray you'll take me as your vessel. I ask you, first of all, to cleanse me of any sin, then empty me of self, and they'll then fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Without a doubt, one of the most exciting things for any pastor or any leader in a local church is to see this organism called the church to grow. The church is not an organization, it's an organism. It's not made up of things, it's made up of people. And Crossroads Baptist Church is an organism established by Almighty God. If you haven't noticed here recently, I'm going to give you some statistics here about this local church. If you haven't noticed recently, one thing that's exciting about Crossroads Baptist Church is that it's growing. That's a good thing. A church ought to grow. After all, when you have preaching of the Word of God like we have here, when you walk into this place and you bring a heart, the heart walks into the local church and it needs something. It needs to be mended. Ought to be able to go into the church and you ought to have something that's better than philosophy, better than opinions. It ought to be something that reaches my heart and help me where I need help. That's what preaching of the Word of God. One of the reasons that Crossroads Baptist Church is growing, and I think the top reason, is that we have good, Bible preaching. We have preaching that does something to the heart that makes us want to be a part of something where I can get fed. So Crossroads Baptist Church is growing because of the great preaching that's mending the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. If I am mended, and I am when I sit under the preaching of the Word of God, it ought to do something in my heart to help me walk outside of these doors, and I ought to minister to someone else. After all, if I find something that changed me, then I ought to want to give it to somebody else. So if I am mended, then I go out and minister. I'm going to mature in my Christian life. I'm going to want people to have and experience what I have. So we find that the church is growing because of the outstanding preaching of the Word of God. And I can say that without a doubt, you won't find any better Bible preaching than when you come into Crossroads Baptist Church and Dr. Kenny Baldwin stands behind here as a shepherd, and he preaches the Word of God and our hearts are mended. That's what it ought to be. But another reason that we grow is that we have wonderful music here. The choir sings, and it helps to take the message and to be able to help stir my heart and help me. We ought to thank God for the men, women, boys, and girls that make the time and take the time to be able to minister to us through their singing, and that's one of them. A third reason that Crossroads Baptist Church is growing is because of the friendliness of the people. I travel all over this place, and I hear people who've come in this place, and they say the people here are more friendly than any group of people they've ever met. And that's a wonderful thing. That's what a church ought to be. It ought not to be that you walk in the place and you feel like people are not friendly. So with good preaching and good singing and friendly people, guess what? The church ought to grow. And Crossroads Baptist Church is growing. And I was thinking, I've spent the last hundreds and hundreds of hours here in the last several months just looking at trends and analyzing this church and seeing what is happening and what's going on, and see all the different people. There are people in here that I haven't learned your name yet because we're traveling, and it seems like there's a new face all the time. But you ever stop for a moment and look at the makeup of Crossroads Baptist Church? If you haven't, let me help you out. Crossroads Baptist Church is first made up of some oldies like us who've been here almost 39 years. I mean, Jeanette and I have sat there. I preach here for 30 years. We've sat in this place, and I mean, for 39 years, we know just about everything there is about this local church. So this local church is made up of oldies like us who've been here from the beginning. Crossroads Baptist Church also has some people in here who've been here over 30 years, like Anita Tibbs and Sherrod Tibbs and other people have been over 30 years been here in this local New Testament church. So if you take the oldies like us, and we won't call them oldies, but we take the 30-year folks like them, then we got some people who've been here 25 years. We've got some people who've been here 20 years. We've got some people that we met way over in Belgium that have been here years and years and years. So you've got the oldies. You got the 30-year-old folks and the 25-year-old folks. You got the folks that come from overseas. We've got them here. Then we got a bunch of people that have been recently saved and baptized in this local body. And if that's not enough, we've got some people who rotated here from some other churches. And if that's not enough, we've got a whole bunch of millennials here. Now stop for a moment. If you take oldies like us and 30-year-old folks like them and these folks from Belgium like them and all of these new converts and those who've come from other local New Testament churches, and then all of these millennials, you put them together, one thing you have that the Bible talks about, you have many members, but you still have one body. Now, the last time I checked, oldies like me and folks like them and even folks like them And even some of the people have come from other churches. And even those who've been recently saved and baptized. And these millennials, I've discovered something. We don't all think alike. We don't all look alike. We don't all behave alike. But there's a God in heaven that took the oldies and the Tims and the Duns and the newcomers and the millennials and chose to put them in the one body where there's diversity, difference of opinions. Folks don't look alike, don't act alike, don't behave alike, many members. But God says, I have one body. And in that passage, he says, with all of that diversity is what a church ought to be like. And all those differences, that ought to be in a local church. There's still one body. One body that has to focus as one unit for the glory of God. It's the will of God that we grow, and we grow as a family. It's the will of God that we grow as friends. It's the will of God that we depend upon one another. It's the will of God that you take all of this diversity and all of this personality and you put it together, and this body functions as one body for the glory of God, because we're not looking around at each other. We all are looking up at Him. Now, one thing I've noticed about a body like this, oldies and the Tibbs, and the Duns, and the millennials, and the newcomers, and those who just got saved, I've noticed that it's the will of God that we function as one body with one purpose. But if you have that much diversity, guess what else you're going to have? Somebody, don't whisper, say it aloud. Problems. Problems. Now, there will only be one church that will ever be perfect, and it hadn't assembled yet. Well, that's the church in Prospect. One day, Jesus is going to call us all out of here. We're going to all assemble around Him, and we're going to have a perfect church. But until that day, we've got us and them and the rest of you. With all of this diversity, but we're still one body. In 1994, we were up the street in that building, just a few of us, little 5,000 square foot building. And we moved down here to a building that's four times the size, 20,000. In 1994, I prepared this message. I titled it back then, How to Keep Problems Out of a Growing Church. Now, the situation was a little bit different in 94. We moved from a little building into a big building, and we went from financially from a mortgage to a new mortgage down here that was not four times more, but 16 times more. If you figure that out, one was 1,900 and the other one was 30,000. So we had to grow real fast. So all of a sudden, we were taking some of those people who were new, trying to get them to do what old people would do. People who had been mended for a long time. People who sat on the preaching for a long time. I mean, had learned to say no to self and no to sin. And went on all of these new people to be able to get involved. Why? We had to grow fast to fill this place up, to be able to take care of the obligation. But we still realized something. Even after we grew fast, there was diversity and a lot of new people, but it was still one body. So I came up with this message entitled, How to Keep Problems Out of a Growing Church. And then in 2011, when Pastor Kenny took over as a new pastor, he wasn't quite as reserved as the 30-year-old fella, I got a text a few moments ago. Somebody said they were watching us online, and they saw me pat my foot. If I'd done that 2 decades ago, I would have had problems. So I don't know. Maybe it changed a little bit anyway. But anyway, I figure he had some other things. I mean, this guy here had been preaching since he was a little boy, and I prayed at his bed many times and praying one day, and I had all of that grown up. He ought to been, he wasn't in an old car with a few new parts on it. I mean, he came off the assembly line. I mean, ready to go, and I figured all of a sudden he's going to grow. This church is going to grow faster, and it ought to grow faster with all of that talent, all of that ability, and all of that anointing. I mean, it was going to grow, so I preached it then. Same thing, how to keep problems out of a growing church. And then I looked around and the church did grow. We got a lot of new people, and all of a sudden the new people became more than the old people. Thank God the old folks are still around here. We're still hanging in. There's something good about being old and seasoned. But it's still more new today. So in 2016, we preached it again with all the new people. Since 2016 to right now, we probably had more growth last year than the history of our church in a lot of areas. So here's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I think I've already made up my mind, if I'm still living, a pastor will let me, I'm going to preach this at least every 3 years from now, because I believe that 2020 is going to be the greatest growth year in the history of Crossroads Baptist Church. You're going to see some people because if we've been on a preaching that long and we've been mended that much and we've seen some things and we've seen God peel away at some things and give us some things and stir us, we ought to be trying not to just do what's good and bad or right or wrong. Ought to be saying, God, I'm at the level of my life. I want to do what is best. I want to do something a little better. I want to be the best I can be for Almighty God, because God saw fit to put me in an organism that pleases Him. So I want to give you a formula. I want you to write it down this time. And I want you to, if you don't write it down, I want you to promise you'll go back, look it up. It'll be online for the next 2 weeks. And I want you to listen for a few moments how we can take this church, with all of this diversity and all that's going to be added to this year. And I believe with all of my heart, what I've seen, and what God is doing, and what He wants to do, we're going to have the greatest growth in the history of our church. But mark it down, with growth, though you have oldies, and you have new people, and you have all this diversity, there are going to be problems. And there will never be a church without problems, but God wants me and God wants you to make sure that if He sees fit to put me in this body, here's what I want to do. I want to maximize my potential, and I want to minimize any problem that I might have that might stymie this organism which belongs to Almighty God. Now, that was my introduction. I have 6 points, and they'll go fast, but they're easier to remember. Now, here's what I want you to think about. How can I, as an oldie, how can I, who've been here 30 years, how can I, who've been here 25 years, or 20 years, or 15 years, or 10 years, or 5 years, or 1 month, or next month, or next year, how can I, if God puts me in the church, maximize my potential and minimize any problem that I may cause? The church of Corinth grew fast. Paul spent 18 months there. He preached to liars, drunkards, whoremongers, all kinds of people. And that church, people got saved, baptized, and a great church was established. And he wrote this letter to remind them of something. There's all that diversity, But God has placed in the church and arranged the church so that people are dependent upon each other, that there'll be no schism in that church that would hurt the work of God. What he wrote back then, he still expects today. Now, how can I maximize my potential as a member of the Crossroads Baptist Church, regardless of how long I've been there? How can I do that? I'm glad you asked. It's going to start with the word work, W-O-R-K. Now, let me give you a piece of free advice. If you are a member of the church, whether you're here from the beginning, 30 years, or in between, and you don't work, you're a problem. Want me to say that again? If you are a member of this church who was put here by God, and you are not in some form working to help this church do what God raised it up to do, you are already a problem. All right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down, put down, we're going to give you 6 points. At the beginning of each point, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, each point is going to begin with the word work. All right? Work. All right? So we're all going to say, if I'm going to be the best that I can be for the local church, I must what? Work. All right? So that's established. Now, you can work harder than anybody in this church and still be a problem. So we're going to take the word work. Each point is going to begin with the word work. And then I'm going to give you a preposition. A preposition is going to take work and connect it to what it's going to end. It's going to connect it to another word or to another phrase. Now, I'll let you know ahead of time. The other word is going to begin with a P. All 6 of them are going to end in P. And the reason I put P so you can remember. Work, P. Now all we got to do is figure out what's in between. All right? So we're going to begin with work. Then I'm going to give you a preposition. And then I'm going to tie to that preposition and you'll understand it. The thought is I'm maximizing my potential, minimizing any problem. I guarantee you, I preached this here. I preached it all over the country. I preached it in churches of small churches, churches of several thousand, and it has worked. It's a formula to help you if you got saved 10 years ago or 20 years ago and you are a member of the church. If you will practice this formula, I guarantee you something. You will maximize your potential and minimize any problem you'll ever cause in the local church. Point number one, work. Here's the preposition, for, F-O-R. All right, so I know I got to work. I'm going to work for, and here's the P, the right person. All right, I'm working, I'm preaching, I'm singing, I'm teaching. I'm working the nursery. I'm ushering. I'm working in the local church, but I'm working for the right person, and the right person is always Jesus Christ. So, preacher, how does that maximize my potential? Listen, if whatever you're doing in the local church, that's work, if you're working for the right person, who is Jesus Christ, here's how you maximize your potential and minimize your problem. You're working to please him. Not working to please the pastor, not working to please the deacons, not working to please anybody else. You are working. Hey, I'm teaching at Sunday school. I'm on that bus route. I'm memorizing those songs. I'm working harder than anybody else. But I'm working to please him. That helps you maximize your potential. And here's how you minimize any problem. If I'm working to please him, then all the praise for my work goes to him. I'll never worry about whether I'm on the bulletin. I'll never worry about the announcement. I'll never worry about the pat on the back. I'll never worry about singing the solo. I'll just carry a tune because I'm singing for Jesus. All right, point number one, work for the right person. Make all your work please him. That's how you maximize your potential. All the praise for what you did goes to him. That'll minimize any problem. Number two, write down the word work. Here's the preposition, with, W-I-T-H. I'm working for the right person, that's Jesus. But I must work with, here's the P, the pastor. I work for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the right person. The praise goes to him. I'm working to please him, but I got to work with the pastor. It says here, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Why do I need to work with the pastor? He's watching over my soul. God put me in the church where he is the shepherd, the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, who I'm working with, but the under shepherd is the pastor, and for Crossroads Baptist Church, that's Pastor Kenny Baldwin. We're not working for him, but we certainly better work with him. He is the shepherd that God has placed to take care of the sheep that God put in the pasture. It's the Lord Jesus Christ put every person here. So how do I work with the pastor who's watching over my soul to give an account, and I wanted to do it with joy? How do I work with the pastor? Four ways that we can work with our pastor. First of all, we need to be in supplication for him. You ought to pray for him every single day of your life. He ought to fit pretty high on your list. After you praise Almighty God and thank Almighty God, you ought to pray for the shepherd. Work with him in supplication. Work with him in submission to him. He is the one that God has placed in the church. Work with him by being in support of him. So if I'm working with the pastor, I'm in supplication praying for him, and I'm submission to his leadership, I'm in support of what God leads him to do. And then I threw a fourth one in there, spoil him. Take care of the man of God. Now, Crossroads Baptist Church does that, and we thank God. There are a lot of places that don't do that. But when you don't take care of the shepherd who watches over your soul, you are a problem in the local church. Make sure that you pray for your pastor. Be in submission to his leadership. Be in support of what God leads him to do, and spoil him and take care of special days, because I want to maximize my potential and I want to minimize any problem. Number three, now here's where the rubber meets the road. So yeah, I preach it. I'm working for Jesus. Everybody's going to say that. There's nobody here who's going to say anything like that. I'm going to work for the right person. That's Jesus. I sing for Jesus. I usher for Jesus. I teach for Jesus. I preach for Jesus. Yeah, everybody says that. I work with my pastor. As long as he doesn't preach hard on me or something, you know. But he got a little bit lying a little bit. I'll find me another one, so I work with him. But number three, and here's where we really have problems. You work for the right person, that's Jesus Christ. Work with your pastor, that's Pastor Kenny Baldwin for Crossroads Baptist Church. But thirdly, work, here's a preposition, around personalities. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covers all sin. Who maketh one to differ? God makes us different. Work around personalities. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I guarantee you, in a church this size, there's some member who's a member of this church, you've got a brother and sister in this church that just rubs you the wrong way. You grunt every time they give a testimony. You just if you had to make the decision, you would have put them in another church. But you didn't. God put them in the same church that he saw fit to put you. So what do? I don't want the way I feel to hurt this organism that God has put me in, so I want to minimize any problem I may cause. So what do? Work around personalities. Allow people to be different than you are. I said this before in times when I preach this. Can you imagine what Crossroads Baptist Church would be like if everybody had your personality? Now, I pastored for 30 years, and the love of God has been shed abroad upon my heart. I've never had a problem loving people. But I've had people over the years that I just didn't like. They didn't know it, because I don't preach at them and single them out. But, oh, I tell you something. They just, every once in a while, you'd be up here getting ready to preach, and you've been with the Lord, and you look out, you just look out there, and all of a sudden you got to say, Lord, help me. And I'm not the only one. But you have to work around personalities. Allow people to be different than you. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. How you see yourself is not how everybody else sees you. And you go around laughing, thinking about, boy, everybody likes you. There's some people around here that just haven't told you about you yet. Allow people to be different. Avoid divisions at any cost. Why? I want to maximize my potential. I want to minimize my problem because God saw fit to put me in the church as it pleases him. I want to work for the right person. That's Jesus. I want to work to please him. I don't need praise because it all needs to go to him. He made me what I am. I'm going to work with my pastor. And I'm going to work around personalities. I'm not going to let somebody who's different from me cause me to be a problem in the church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, work, here's the preposition, on people. Work on people. God puts people in the church for us to work on. As I said before, the oldies here, people who've been here a long time, people who've been here in between, some people who are new. Have you ever thought for a moment that God put somebody in the church for you to work on? I mean, maybe it's one of those whose personalities you don't like. Maybe God put them in the church and put them on the same pew for you to work on them. So, preacher, how do I work on somebody like that in the church? Well, you can start by praying actively for them. Let me tell you something about prayer. It's hard to pray when you got an attitude about somebody. But if you start praying for them and praying that God will strengthen them and praying that God will use them and praying that God will bless them, you're working on them by praying actively for them. Here's another way you can work on people. Provide assistance to them. You ever thought about helping somebody? You ever thought about reaching out to somebody? You ever thought about taking somebody out? You ever thought about just, you know, being a blessing to somebody instead of always want something from somebody? Maybe that person in the church God put there for you to work on them. You are part of the body of Christ. And God says you are to maximize your potential, minimize your problem. If you work on that person by praying actively and providing some assistance, if that makes that person a better person in the church, you're making the church a better church for the glory of God. All right, number five, we're getting there. Work for the right person. That's always Jesus Christ. Work with the pastor. Work around personalities. Work on people. Then turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Let me give you the fifth one. We're talking about maximizing my potential in a diverse church with all people of all walks of life, but God put them there. And I want to be the best that I can be. I want to maximize my potential. I want to minimize any problem. I'm working for the right person. I want to work with my pastor, work around personalities, work on people. And number five, work, here's the preposition, out, O-U-T, problems. I started by telling you there is no church without problems. But if a church is going to be what God wants it to be, and I'm going to be what I need to be in the church, I need to work out her problems. Matthew chapter 5, if you'll notice here in verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If I'm going to be in a church that's made up of people like we are, older people, younger people, and everybody in between, people with different opinions, different philosophies, we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems where there are people. But if I'm going to maximize my potential and I have a problem with one of the folks in the church on which God put them in just like he put me, and I want to maximize my potential, I've got to work out my problems. Now, how do you work out problems as a member of a local church? There are two things. Number one, according to Matthew chapter 18, always use a scriptural approach. If you have a problem between you and a member of a local church, that problem needs to be worked out in a scriptural approach. What is a scriptural approach? A scriptural approach is fourfold. You do it personally, you do it privately, you do it prayerfully, and you do it patiently. If I have a problem with a brother or sister, I don't need to put it on the internet. It doesn't need to go on Facebook. I don't even need to call the preacher. And I certainly don't need to call anybody else and make it a prayer request. I need to personally, privately, prayerfully, and patiently take a scriptural approach and work it out. Why? I'm trying to minimize any problem I may cause in the church and maximize any potential. All right, so if you work out a problem, and this is for everybody. This is, when I was pastoring, I don't want you to tell me every problem you have with every member of the church. That's not between us. I don't have a problem with that member. You have the problem. Go deal with that person. It saves them embarrassment, saves problems. It doesn't. The pastor doesn't have to know everything that's going on. Do you realize how great it would be in a church if everybody worked out their problems and the pastor never had to know about them? If you haven't figured out yet, he has enough things to worry about. So we got to do a scriptural approach. And then according to Galatians chapter 6, you can write this down, you need to do it with a spiritual attitude. Galatians 6, 1 tells us that you ought to do it caringly. Restore such an one, considering yourself. I need to go in a way in which I am, in a spiritual approach, I need to consider, you know what? I could have been that way. I could have said that. I could have done that. That's a person. That person has feelings. I don't want to hurt anyone. I want to help them. I don't want to go with a bad attitude. I don't want to say, how long does it take you to straighten out things? I want to carefully approach someone with a spiritual attitude, realizing that I'm made of the same stuff, and that could be me. So if I'm going to maximize my potential, I need to personally, whether I've been here a long time, or whether I just got saved, or whether I'm a millennial. You say, why are you always picking on the millennials? There's so many of them. I need to work it out. Work it out. All right, that's five. Number one, work for the right person. That's Jesus Christ. Work with the pastor. Work around personalities. Work on people. Work out problems. And then number six, which is very important. Write down the word work. Here's the preposition. Through his power. Work through his power. You know, I think one of the things that we have forgotten or haven't figured out yet, Christianity is spiritual business. If I'm saved tonight, and with most people here, you're saved, we've got to realize something. There's a flesh and there's a spirit. According to the Bible that we preach from and read from and believe, self is always carnal. There's no such thing as a spiritual flesh. I mean, you're talking about all of these things. You're talking about working for, working with, working around, working on, working out. I've got to work through his power. I can't accomplish any of that in the flesh. Why? The flesh is always carnal, and I cannot please God in the flesh. So if I'm going to work through his power, I've got to understand that self is carnal only through a spirit-controlled life that I can ever do anything to please God. Pastor preached a few weeks ago on Galatians chapter 20 and talking about crucified in Christ. I can't please God in the flesh. And by the way, you can't please God in this living organism called the church that he established and he saw fit to save you, save me, and by his all-knowing direction, he saw fit to put us in the same body. And he chose every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, put us in this church. Thank God for those who've been here from the beginning. Thank God for those who have been here from the beginning. And by the way, stayed long before we had a building. Some people stayed here long before we ever had a choir. Some people found something in the church that they liked more than just a choir. Some people stayed. And God sent people from all around the world. And God sent people from across the street. And you look around this place, you see diversity. Thank God there's diversity. We're many members, but one body. And if every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, regardless of where you came from, how long you've been saved, what you do in the church, if you could have this attitude, I'm going to work. I'm going to work in the church God put me in, but I'm going to work always for the right person. That's Jesus Christ. I'm going to work with my pastor in supplication for him, submission and support, and I'm going to help spoil him. And I'm going to look around at my brothers and sisters, and I don't care who he or she may be. If that personality is different from mine, I'm going to work around it, allow them to be different, and I'm going to avoid division at any cost. And I'm going to find somebody in the church that I can work on. That every day of my life, I can get on my knees and pray actively for them. And I'm going to look for an opportunity to provide some assistance. And because I'm flesh and they're flesh, problems will pop up. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work out the problem in a spiritual approach. Privately, personally, prayerfully, patiently, with a spiritual attitude, caring and considering that could have been me. And every day of my life, I'm going to try to work through his spirit. God help me to be cleansed of sin, emptied of self, filled with your Spirit. Whether I'm preaching, whether I'm teaching, whether I'm ushering, whether I'm singing, whether I'm cleaning, help me to work through your power, because my desire in my church is to maximize my potential and minimize any problem I will ever cause in my church. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, thank you for the church. I thank you for those who've been here from the beginning. I thank you for those who've stayed over these many years. I thank you for those you've sent here from around the world. I thank you for those who've come from other churches. I thank you for those who've been saved and baptized here. I thank you for those who've come here to work here. I thank you that you saw fit to place people in this body as it pleases you. And you have so arranged this body that there be no schisms, that we will grow together as a family, grow together as friends, that this organism will be all that you would have it to be. And I pray that you'll help every member of Crossroads Baptist Church this upcoming year, when we desire to do more for God than we've ever done before, help us to maximize our potential, minimize any problem in your local church. Yes, we're many members, but we're one body. Help us, I pray, to work. We ask you these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's